Srimad Bhagavatam Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanandi. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we're reading from the 11th canto, 7th chapter, text number 7. And this is what is known as the Uddhava Gita. We know what Bhagavad Gita is. And Uddhava Gita is the wonderful Gita or song or discourse by Krishna to Uddhava. Uddhava is a great devotee. The title of this, or the theme of this talk, is How One Becomes Entangled. And looking at this, 2 weeks ago I gave a class here, and it was the same subject matter, the same people, and so I was thinking, what Krishna's trying to tell me something here. Maybe it's a chance at redemption, or it's something very important that we need to focus on. So 2 weeks ago we spoke on the topic, how illusion affects the soul, and this week the topic is how one becomes entangled. So how is in there both. One would refer to the soul, the person. And entangled is obvious, synonymous with illusion. So same topic, same persons. We've already introduced Uddhava and Krishna speaking on the Prabhakshetra, the banks of near Prabhash, where the Yadu dynasty disappeared. And why the inquiry was there? Why did Uddhava want to see Krishna? Uddhava knew Krishna was about to disappear from this earthly realm, and he wanted to get some final instructions. So, the overall theme of our first third of our studies this year is Sambandha Gyan, or establishing a relationship with Krishna. And so this topic, how we are entangled or how we're covered or how we're affected by the material realm is the prime reason the Sambandha Gyan does not take place. And actually, if you look at it, and again, because I'm thinking, well, why am I getting the... why has Krishna presented this topic to me twice, in as many classes, for me at least? And, you know, it's nice for a devotee to be thoughtful. So I'm thinking, well, maybe we didn't speak enough on this topic. Maybe I didn't investigate enough. So we have to be very attuned, very alert to how Krishna is presenting things in our lives and how it affects us and what ultimate benefit there is. So why this topic twice? Why is it so important in our establishing our relationship to Krishna to know why and how we're entangled? And actually, if we look at the answer is we already have a relationship with Krishna. But there is the one thing that is preventing us from that relationship, and it is this entanglement, this illusion. So, in the last class on this topic, there was an example given. Does anybody remember the example that the verse gave us? Oh, crickets. That's okay. I mean, for me, it's easy because it was the only other class I gave, so I remember. But it was an example of how the living entity sees something and it appears very real, but it is not. Does that help, Andy?
It was the moon on the water.
Yes, the moon's reflection on the water. And so we spoke generally of how we're seeing the moon on the water and we're misidentifying or thinking that that's the moon. But a further, having been able to think about it again, further understanding of this example, because again, the example is we see the reflection of the moon on the water, and if the water is trembling or rippling, the moon becomes distorted. And our position, our vision is altered and is affected by the water. So being in the material realm, we're affected. However, one thing I didn't speak about or we didn't talk about was that the moon is indication of the real moon. When we see the moon on the water, let's just say we don't see upward. We see the moon on the water. We say, oh, the moon is out. And it's telling us, don't look in the water, but go look in the sky and see the moon. There's indication of the real moon, of the reality. So our sambandha, our relationship with Krishna, is covered by the illusion that we're acting or appearing to be acting really, real actions or important actions when actually they are not. However, the relationships, the activity, they're real, but they're misappropriated. There is the real relationship. There is the real relationships, real activity, real friendships, real all these different activities and relationships that are there that we see, that we feel here. There is a realness to them, but it is in the sky, not in the water. So this repetition, why is there repetition in trying to learn a subject? Why does Lord Chaitanya say, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevam, Klo Nasteva Nasteva? It's longer. He could have just said, Hare Nama, Eva Kevam, Klo Nasteva, Gataran Sa. It's quicker. It rolls off the tongue. There's no tongue twisting. Why is the repetition there? Yes. Yeah, pay attention. And, we're thick. We don't get it the first time. So there's repetition. Yes, Michael.
I was just wondering if you
could
give a translation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Harinama, chanting Krishna's name. Harinama, chanting Krishna's name. Harinama, chanting Krishna's name. Eva Kevalam, Kalona Steva. In this age of Kali, the chanting of the holy name or hearing and chanting about Krishna, that is recommended to attain perfection. Gatiranyata, that to get the supreme perfection, it is to chant. And that's the positive. And the negative is, or the warning is, nasteva, nasteva, nasteva. There's no other way. There's no other way. No other way. So, by chanting Hare Krishna, by hearing and chanting about Krishna, and that's what you first, your first classes on this theme were to hear, why we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, why Bhagavatam is so important. Why are we hearing? It's Kalo Nastevana. It's Nastar Pareshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It frees us. It helps purify ourselves. Swakata Krishna Punya Sramana Kirtana. It by regularly hearing, it cleanses us. We'll actually speak a little more about that in the class. But the repetition is there to bring our attention to it, as Mother Chaitanya said, but then also, we won't hear it the first time, the second time. But again, this relationship, yeah, we can say, yes, we become entangled because I'm attached to material things. And all right, I got it. But do we got it? Did we get it? Let's hear it again. Let's talk about it some more. That's why you'll see this repetition of themes and topics. throughout all discourses, and not just from one, you know, here's the same topic, the same subject. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, and then what happens? Uddhava speaks, or Maitreya is there, happens to be there, he's hearing it, and he's relaying the same message to Vidura. So, we can read now the verse. Responsible. Yad idam manasa vacha.
Yad idam manasa vacha.
Chakshur bhyam shravanadi bhi. Nashvaryam griyamanam cha.
Nashvaryam griyamanam cha.
Vidimaya manomayam.
Vidimaya manomayam.
Please chant. Yadidam manasa vacha chakshur bhyam sanadibhi naishvaryam griyamanam cha vidimaya manomayam yadidam manasa vacha Chakshur bhyam shravanadibhi Nashvaram griyamanam cha Vidimaya manomayam Yadidam manasavacha Chakshur bhyam shravanadibhi Nashvaram griyamanam cha Anyone else? Yat, that which, idam, this world, manasa, by the mind, vacha, by speech, chakshurbhyam, by the eyes, shravana adibi, by the ears and other senses, Nashvaram, temporary, Griyamanam, that which is being accepted or perceived, Cha, and Vidi, you should know, Maya Mana Mayam, it is only imagined to be real by the influence of Maya. My dear Uddhava, the material universe that you perceive through your mind, speech, eyes, ears, and other senses is an illusory creation that one imagines to be real due to the influence of Maya. In fact, you should know that all of the objects of the material senses are temporary. Let's read it together. My dear Uddhava, the material universe that you perceive through your mind, speech, and eyes, and ears, and other senses is an illusory creation that one imagines to be real to the influence of Maya. In fact, you should know that all the other objects of the material senses are temporary. Purport. The question may be raised that since we find good and bad qualities throughout the material world, how can Lord Krishna advise Uddhava to see everything equally? So this is a reference actually to the previous verse. And let me just pull it together. Where he's saying, now you should completely give up all attachment to your personal friends and relatives and fix your mind on me. Thus being always conscious of me, you should observe all things with equal vision and wander throughout the earth. So the question to that is, how can Lord Krishna advise Uddhava to see everything equally? Because we see there are good and bad in the world. So in this verse, Krishna explains that material good and evil are a creation of the illusory energy, just as the objects of a dream are a mental creation. And again, this dream we spoke a couple weeks about, of how in a dreaming state one accepts everything to be very real. And when you wake up, then you accept something else to be very real. But in the dream state, That is reality. So it is likened, what is the dream state? The dream state is a non-active state. So what is active? Sambandha, abhideya. Abhideya is action. This is what we're trying to achieve by understanding our relationship with Krishna, to be active in that relationship. So that is real action, just like the real moon is up and the reflection is down. So the real action is with Krishna in our sambandha, in our constitutional position. However, we are identifying our actions right here, that these are our actions. These are important things, just like in our day-to-day life. These are important actions, we believe. But they are not on the real sambandha platform. Is that clear? So, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Vasudevam Sarvamiti, Lord Krishna is actually everything, because he is present within everything and everything, within everything, and everything is present within him. Sorry. Krishna is Sarvalokamaheshvaram, the Lord and proprietor of all worlds. To see anything separate from Krishna is illusion. An attraction to any kind of material illusion, either good or bad, is ultimately useless, since it obliges the living entity to continually wandering in the cycle of birth, to continue wandering in the cycle of birth and death. So here is another clue that, okay, we have our eternal relationship, sambandha with Krishna. However, we're here. We're in the reflection. So how should we see that reflection? Yes, we see the reflection, and we know there is reality. But it is in the sky. The moon is in the sky. So, by understanding our sambandha, we know our actions are to be with Krishna. And understanding that even, because there are certain philosophies that say, well, everything here is false, and reality is nothingness, voidness, or impersonalism. And so, but everything here is false, so let's just get out of here. That example of the moon, shows that there is reality. The moon is really there. However, and why would there be the reflection of the moon in the water if there was not the real moon? So our relationships, our activities, our interactions, they are real activities. And it's not just a creation of Maya, but it is natural for the living entity to have interactions, to be with each other, with other living entities, to have relationships, and to act. So this material world, what is this material world? And it's the expansion of Krishna to give us the opportunity to do that separate from him. And in the last class, we talked a little bit about why that was there. Why did we desire that? So, the Mahatma, Vasudevam Sarvamiti, Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha, the intelligent person, the devotee of Krishna, he'll see that, okay, everything here is emanation of Krishna. It is misused. And so let me use it in Krishna's service. And we'll talk more about that again. Let's finish off this purport. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching constitute the activities of the five knowledge-gathering senses. Similarly, the voice, the hands, the legs, the anus, and the genitals constitute the five working senses. These 10 senses are organized around the mind, which is the center of material activity. When the living entity desires to exploit matter, he is covered by the three modes of nature. Thus, he concocts different philosophical, political, and social explanations of reality, but never understands the absolute truth, Lord Krishna, who is beyond the contaminated perception of the material senses. It's quite a mouthful there, but the 10 senses, we have our senses, we have our, and then the mind is kind of like, well, I want to enjoy this sense, or I want to enjoy this sense, or I want to enjoy this sense, or I want to enjoy other senses. And so the mind is thinking, how can I want that, I want that, I want that. And so then the intelligence, it goes to the intelligence, figure out how to get me that. And so, it's almost exploit. You know, how do I get that? This is like a lusty thing. It's like lust. It's like a driving force behind the senses. The senses need to be engaged, right? They can't be inactive. They always need some engagement. And so the mind and intelligence are figuring out ways to do it. In so many different ways. One who is entangled in a network of material designations such as race, nationality, sectarian religion, political affiliation, etc., is absorbed in the experience of combining his body and other bodies with material sense objects, thinking these sense objects to be the sources of happiness and satisfaction. Unfortunately, the entire material world, along with the senses that experience it, is a temporary creation that will be annihilated by the time potency of the Supreme Lord. Despite our foolish hopes and dreams, there is no actual happiness on the material platform. The real truth is not material, nor is it temporary. The real truth is called Atma, or the eternal soul. And among all eternal souls, one is supreme. He is called the personality of Godhead, and in his original form he is known as Krishna. The knowledge-gathering process culminates in perception of the inconceivable, transcendental form of Krishna. One who is not perceiving Krishna in everything, and everything in Krishna, is undoubtedly on a platform of mental concoction. In this verse, Lord Krishna warns Uddhava to remain clear of this illusory platform of existence.
Namaste Girirajaya Shri Govardhana Namine Shri Sukhesha Asaya Paramananda Dayane.
So what is another word? Let's pull out our thesaurus app in our minds. What are some other words for illusion? Covering? Bewilderment? False?
Mirage?
Maya? Anymore? What? That which is not, that's good. That which is not real?
Arrogance.
Illusion, yes. Arrogance is a form of illusion. Temporary, good. Full of misery. Those are results. We're starting to get into some results of illusion, but that's good too. I was thinking of the word misidentification. And what I like about that word is a lot of times when the word mis is used as a prefix, it almost gives a understandable reason. Misunderstanding, miscommunication, misidentification, not purposeful or not malicious. Let's say it's a non-malicious form of the word, that we're not maliciously not understanding you. I've just misunderstood you, or I've miscommunicated with you, or I've misidentified. So it's a nice entrance into, like, not beating the heck out of ourselves that I'm misidentified with Krishna. So it's a nice word, and Prabhupada uses it quite often in his talks. And I was going to pull out some things where he uses the word misidentification. And so it is a misidentification, just like we are identifying, sorry to keep going back to this, but it's a beautiful analogy. We're seeing the moon and we're identifying with that moon and not identifying with the real moon. So that misidentification of the person thinking himself, what is he ultimately misidentifying with? The body. And what does that mean? what the extension of the body is, false ego, and the senses. Just as we said here, we're seeing the senses, the body, the false ego. We're thinking, okay, this is who I am. And therefore, I'm in this certain realm, and I have to obviously do anything. I need to do some action, and I need to gratify these little horses, my mind, my nose, my eyes, my ears, my fingers. I have to gratify them. So a whole series of activities happens. Everything starts happening. And it's all based on this one little thing called misidentification. And so, again, when we look at Sambandha, this establishing relationship with Krishna, and why is it so important, we cannot, it is like the foundation to action, of real action. Without really knowing who or what we are, then everything else piled up on top of it, whatever type of house you make on top of a foundation, it's not going to be permanent. So if we're thinking, I'm this body, I'm this senses, I am what is it? Social, political, sectarian religion, nationality, race, all these things. I am this, I am this, I am this. Then everything that related to that, all your relationships with people, everything is based on these things, which is all a misidentification. And so to directly answer this question of today's topic, how one becomes entangled, Prabhupada answers this very clearly in a number of places. In the fourth canto, where there's a story of Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj misidentified himself also as the son of a certain king and the brother of a certain brother. And so when his brother was killed, he took extreme revenge on that. And then when he came to his senses, the great devotee Yamaraj, Kuvera, came to him and he spoke this verse. He said, misidentification of oneself and others as I and you on the basis of the bodily concept of life is a product of ignorance. This bodily concept is the cause of repeated birth and death, and it makes us go on continuously in material existence. So this one misidentification is something that will just snowball, because all of our relationships then are misidentified, and all the actions that we do in those relationships create karma and create activities that will perpetuate the same to going on and on and on. And then Purport Prabhupada said, the conception of I and you, aham tvam, is separate from each other, is due to our forgetfulness of our eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We forgot the Sambandha. We've been covered by it. We've been covered by illusion, and we cannot see the moon anymore. We only see the rippling moon, and we're identifying with that one. We're identifying with that. The Supreme Person Krishna is the central point, and all of us are his parts and parcels. When we actually come to this understanding of being eternally related with the Supreme Lord, this distinction, which is based on the bodily concept of life, cannot exist. So, we want to move from misidentifying to identifying, to have our real identity come through. Because then, those relationships, those actions, they reverse the snowball, they bring our snowball up. It's like, hey, have you ever seen a snowball roll up a hill? But yes, this reverses it. Just like the example in Bhagavad Gita, there's a tree and the reflection is there. The reflection looks, oh, this looks upside down. But there is the real tree that goes upwards. So this misidentification, because we have an ego, we have a true identity, but the misidentification is thinking that this body and this false ego of being this body is who I really am. In another place, and this purport is rather sweet because Prabhupada is talking about something that just happened in his daily life. Some, usually the purports are very scholarly. Of course, this is scholarly as well, but here's an example that something just happened in his life. So the whole difficulty is that in this age of Kali, there is no goodness and no clearness of the heart. And therefore, people are making the mistake of identifying with their bodies. Even big philosophers and scientists with whom we deal are practically all under the impressions that they are their bodies. Just the other day, we were discussing with a prominent philosopher, Thomas Huxley, who was proud of being an Englishman. This means that he was in the bodily conception of life. Everywhere we find the same misunderstanding. As soon as one is in the bodily conception of life, one is nothing but an animal like a cat or dog. Sa'eva Gokura. Those who attended our Saturday program, we heard Prabhupada talking on this verse. Yasyatma buddhi kunapeta dakne. And we all got a chuckle of hearing Prabhupada say cow and ass, you know. Prabhupada swore, but no, it was a donkey. So, if we think, what are the things that are pointed out in this Yashatmi Buddhi? If one thinks this body, which is composed, I mean, just look at the body, you know, please. You know, it's vile, mucus, pus, all these things. Is that really who I am? Is that me? So that misidentification, that's the one thing. One who thinks that did this body. Second thing, swadhi kala tradishu. Kala tradishu is your family members, your relations, your wife is what? Swadhi are mine. This idea that these are mine. These expansions of me are mine, my family, my children, my country. Oh, well, the country is next. Boma idjadi. Boma is earth. Where I'm from. I'm identifying with that. Again, it's all, this idea that I am, you know, these are my expansions. I am from this country. I am from this land. And then even, you know, These I think everybody can relate to from whatever, solid background you may have. They can, yes, I can understand this. If you have some religious background, you'll see, yes, okay, I can accept this. But then even when it goes a step further, yatirta buddhi, when it goes to some religious conception that I am such and such of a religion, I believe in this or that. And specifically, obviously, it's speaking of those who go to a holy place and they're just thinking, it's some ritual. I'm going there for a ritual. I will take my bath and I will be purified. Without any real thought of what it really means to go to a tirtha, go to a holy place. All of these, think of your body, relationships are yours, the place where you're born, or if you sentimentally or externally accept a religion without real knowledge of it, all of these are considered sa'eva gokura, like we're probably in today's cat or dog, donkey or cow, whatever it is. No intelligence. Very meager intelligence. Thus, the most dangerous of the dirty things within our hearts, the most dangerous, we can think, okay, well, what is really stopping me from sambandha? The most dangerous of the dirty things within our hearts is this misidentification of the body as the self. Under the influence of this misunderstanding, one thinks, I am this body, I am an Englishman, I am an Indian, I am an American, I am a Hindu, I am a Muslim. This misconception is the strongest impediment, and it must be removed. Must. And so why are we misidentifying? Again, based on what we've heard thus far, it's because we've forgotten what the real relationship is. And what perpetuates, because the two topics, how illusion affects the soul or how one becomes entangled, what keeps us here, what is that covering? Fear. If we are identifying with this body, and we are acting in those identifying realms and activities, we are fearful if we don't. We are fear. We fear not doing something. It's got to do something. So that out of fear, we are doing things in many ways. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be like that. Earlier in the 11th canto, I think this is Maharaj Nimi speaking. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption and the external illusory of the energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition. Why is it fearful? If we forget our relationship with Krishna, why is it fearful? Yes. Right, but why are we, ultimately, why are we, what is so fearful about this bewildering, fearful condition, which is forgetful of the servant, of being a servant of the Lord? Why is that forgetfulness so fearful? Yeah, it's the only real thing. It's who we are. I mean, again, we're saying we're identifying ourselves as a rippling reflection, but we're really up here. We're the moon. We're up. The real thing is up there. And so all these things are very fearful. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master whom he should accept as his worshipable deity in his very life and soul. So here now is, you know, we can say, yes, we're beating ourselves down, or we're misidentifying. Okay, it's a misunderstanding. Here's the real understanding. Now act on it. There's some more verses, but I wanted, because we're running short on time, I wanted to harping on this one thing that Prabhupada said. This misconception is the strongest impediment, and it must be removed. This very strong, if we want to become free from fear, and if we want to really attain this sambandha, we have to, we must do something. So these are two of my favorite purports of all time. I'm not going to read them all because they're very long, but here Lord Chaitanya is telling for his in the Adi Lila, he's speaking about the reason why he events. Why does he come? And why does Krishna come? So this verse 34, Krishna manifests his eternal human-like form and performs his pastimes to show mercy to the devotees. Having heard such pastimes, one should engage in the service to him. So in this translation, Prabhupada translates the word bhavet to should. But in the next verse, this word bhavet is further clarified. So again, just so we don't forget, Krishna comes to this material world. Why? Attract what? To what? To the reality of what? The sambandha, our relationship. Comes. He is fully self-satisfied. He is enjoying. We have come. So why does he come? He doesn't come for anything except for us. To re-establish the sambandha. And how does he do that? Does he come to each and every one of us? Hey, did you forget? Hey, did you forget? Did you forget? How does he do it? His pastimes, his lila. Krishna manifests his eternal human-like form and performs his pastimes to show mercy to the devotees. He's giving us this mercy. So how is it mercy? And then the prescription is, having heard such pastimes, one should engage. One should abideya. One should engage in his service just by hearing. Oh, well, what happened to sambandha? So here the word bhavet brings us to that. Text 35. Here the use of the verb bhavet, which is in the imperative mood, imperative, must. Although Prabhupada in the first verse translated should, here it's clarified it is actually must. Tells us that this certainly must be done. Non-compliance to this would be an abandonment of duty. Or in this sense, it would mean that we don't want. If we hear about Krishna's pastimes and we are not attracted and we are not acting actively engaging in the hearing, then it is we're turning bahir mukh. We're turning our head away. We're turning around. Krishna bhulia jeev anadhir bahir mukh. We are servants of Krishna, but we are turning away from Krishna intentionally. We're abandoning that duty of hearing and that relationship. So here, this purport is one of the most wonderful purports. We won't read it all again, but we'll read some of it. This imperative is applicable to the pure devotees. So this is, again, this kind of brings us a little higher, more to the prayojana. But he'll speak in this purport how, even before prayojana, in sambandha, we must hear about Krishna concentratedly. Neophytes will be able to understand these affairs only after being elevated by regular devotional service under the expert guidance of the spiritual master. We just read that in the other quote. Then they too will be competent to hear of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. As long as one is in material conditional life, strict discipline is required in the matter of moral and immoral activities. The absolute world is transcendental and free from such distinctions because there is inebriety, inebriety is not possible. So the absolute world is transcendental, free from material things. Because there is no intoxication. This material intoxication is not possible there. But in this material world, a sexual appetite necessitates distinction between moral and immoral. And then a little further into this purport. If one is not attracted by the transcendental nature of Krishna, one is sure to be attracted to material enjoyment, thus to become implicated in the clinging network of virtuous and sinful activities, and continue material existence by transmigrating from one material body to another. That is like such a powerful statement by Prabhupada. This Krishna comes, he's manifesting these pastimes, and if we are not attracted to them, if we're not following the disciplines and activities to set ourselves up where we can hear them regularly and be attracted to them, then we are sure to be attracted to something else. Because again, as we were saying, what it, our nature, our true nature, is to be active, is to be in relationships. And if we are not in the right relationship, we are going to create other relationships. One is sure to be attracted to material enjoyment, thus becoming implicated in the clinging network of virtuous and sinful activities. So it's not that even acting in goodness is an entanglement. There was one lecture, Prabhupada was explaining this very simply. He said, if I give you $1, if you do not pay me back, you need to take birth, and I will have to take birth again, so that you can return that $1 to me. So it may be virtuous. You may be thinking, this is very virtuous. I am going to give this person some material benefit. But it's actually clinging, it is within the clinging network of virtuous and impious sinful activities, which continues material existence by transmigration. So, to tie it all up so we can take prasadam, we to establish this relationship with Krishna, we must hear about Krishna and be attracted to his pastimes. And this last little quote here. So this movement is very important. Everyone should seriously study and execute this. Don't be carried away by the illusory materials of ideas of material existence. Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam. It is very easy. If you chant Hare Krishna mantra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. So if we chant, if we hear about Krishna, immediately all the misconception within your heart will be cleansed. That I am American, I am Indian, I am Brahmin, I am Gujarati, I am Bengali, all these misconceptions. So this is the easiest process, is chanting Hare Krishna. So I believe we need to chant another